are told to enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise. So, Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for what you've done in our lives. We thank you that we don't live a life of coincidence. God, we live a life of providence. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you've blessed us with. And we are to have joy even in the trials, God, that you would see us through, Father, and that we would have the expressions on our face would reflect your countenance, God, your glory, Lord. I thank you, God, that you have called us here today to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray, God, as we are here, God, worshiping you in song and hearing your word preached over us by your servant, that you would strengthen him today, God, for all that you called him to. Father, that our worship would be received, Lord, that we would be quick to obey, quick to repent, Father. As Holy Spirit, you do your work in each and every one of us, God. I lift up Maritza, Father. I pray that you would continue to touch her and heal her body from COVID in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you, God, that as your word goes forth, that it reaps a harvest within our lives and in the lives of those who don't know you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's worship our King. Yes.
It all revolves around your throne. Who can know your glory? So high above, yet slain for us.
You are, you will reign forever.
Jesus. Oh, how I pray today, God, that we would come, Father, just with, God, ears that hear what you're speaking to each one of us, because you know where each one of us are at in our walk with you. Father, you do not stiff arm us. No, God, you, because of your love towards us, lead us to repentance. And God, you are so pleased to reveal yourself to us through your Son, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for taking our punishment. The wrath that we deserve was placed upon you. And in accepting you as Savior, as Lord, and having this belief and confession that you are the Son of God and that you rose from the dead, that we are born again, that you laid upon us your righteousness, that now, because of Christ, we are at peace with God. Oh, I pray, God, that we would truly understand that and grasp the fullness of that today. We don't have to continue to war against you. No, but we are at peace with you through Jesus. That in Christ, we've been united yet again and grafted in to your kingdom, adopted into your family. That we are your beloved. Yes. That we are your people. And you are our God. Yes. So we gather for you this morning, Jesus. Not for ourselves, not to puff ourselves up or to hear from man. But God, we need to hear from you. So I pray that you would give us a greater hunger and a thirst for righteousness, Lord, for your name's sake. And as we open up your word, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just minister to each one of us. Teach us, counsel us today through the living word. That our lives will continue to be renewed and lived for the glory of our King. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Good morning. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Your life is not your own. You've been bought the price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? It was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Ministering on these two verses over the past months of this year. Seems like forever. But the reality is the truth of it is so important. How is it impacting your life? Because Scripture should be impacting your life. It's the living Word of God. This is the mirror. This is what you're to look like now. So when James says that when you look intently into a mirror, you're not to turn away and forget what you look like. And yet that happens to us so many times. We come to church, or maybe we have our own private devotions, we're in the Word, but yet once we close the book, Or once we stop listening to the sermon, once we get back out in life, we forget. We forget that we are to be image bearers of Christ if we belong to Christ, if we've truly been born again. If we're not Christians, then yeah, we don't have no comprehension of what it is. We may hold a form of religion, but even in that, we're trying to do that in and of ourselves, and that can never accomplish anything. But the reality is, and the scripture says, so you must honor God with your body, with your whole being, with the very essence of who you are, because you've been born again of the Spirit. You belong to God through Jesus Christ, because you've come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He rose from the dead. And in that belief and in that confession, you wouldn't make that up. No, I keep reminding you that God is pleased to reveal that truth to you so that you might be saved. For all of us, before Christ, we are born in a nature that is against Christ, against His kingdom. And I keep reminding you, as Scripture tells us, apart from Christ, we are at war with Him, against His throne. We do not want to serve Him in and of ourselves. That is your old nature. And your old nature will so deceive you and would even allow you to be religious, if you would. Because the old nature loves to create its own God, to keep you from worshiping the true God. This is what you're warring against every single day. This old nature. And so you must remain alert, steadfast, immovable. You must preach the gospel to yourself daily, throughout the day. You must share it with others. You must resist the temptation to water it down, or to give in to the temptations that are presented to you just to satisfy your natural desires. Because you're not to live that way any longer. As you come to Christ, as you've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, marked and sealed until the day of redemption, He's given us what we need to live this life. And yet He tells us, He gives us insight through His Word that we must continue to grow and to mature. We must continue to grow and to mature. This new life cannot be lived out in our flesh. It will not. It cannot. It must be a new life, birth of the Spirit of God and your learning of God. And you're applying truth, because we just can't be hearers of the word. You must be doers of it. And you can't be doers of it in and of your own self. You can try religious works, but I'm telling you, because you can see it all in here, it amounts to nothing. It's deception. The devil will use it to keep you deceived. Do we understand that? The enemy will use the word to deceive you, to keep you from the author of the word. Yes. And that's why I keep challenging us, especially in our generation. We cannot continue to be flippant about Christianity. We have to understand, if we're saying that He is our God, then that revelation is from God, and it's for God, to accomplish the purposes of God. He delivers us. He frees us. We're no longer shackled and chained any longer. No, we are free people to live for God, to love God, to honor God. The Christian life is an incredible life to be lived. It's not a boring life, but it is a life that wages war against your flesh.
It is a life that calls you to deny yourself, to pick up the cross, and to follow Him. It is a life that says, do not make your world, your whole being, the very essence of who you are, trapped and enslaved to the temporalness of this life. No, it calls you higher because you're created for eternity. Not just for the here and now, but for eternity. And God knows this. And that's what I keep trying to encourage you all. And you must encourage yourself daily in this truth. That God is for you. He is not against you. He has made a way for you to be reunited with Him, to be at peace with Him. So you're no longer warring against Him. But now you're at peace with Him. And so you learn as you're applying the Word of God how to take thoughts captive, how to not give in to the works of the flesh. You learn to humble yourself before God and to resist the enemy, the influence of the enemy. And as you're resisting him, as you're humbling yourself before God, the enemy has to flee. And as far as this world system, when you're in Christ, the Bible says it has no more desire for you, and you should have no more desire for it. So the greatest battle that you're facing daily is what's inside you, your old nature. And that will remain until you finally stand before Him. So again, the goal is on this side, before we stand before Him, is not perfection, but it is maturing. And that's why when you get trapped in this old nature, you don't hide, especially if you're a Christian. What are they going to think of me? What if they find out I'm doing this? What about this? What about that? Listen, we're to be people who are living in the light, not in darkness. We should not be shocked when Christians fall. We shouldn't be so quick to beat them up and to kick them while they're down. Because it could be one of us tomorrow. It could be one of us the next hour. No, we're to be there to uplift, to encourage, to edify, and to build up, to hold accountable, to not tolerate sin, to get in their way and say, no, you're going the wrong way, as they should do for us. Because we understand daily what we're engaging with. And so this concept of trying to be this perfect Christian, like I can't have problems, like I'm just supposed to float around every day, blessed, and highly blessed and highly favored. That's not the Christian life.
No.
Because Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But he did say, but be of good cheer. Because
yes.
I've already overcome this world. So we're not living from a place of defeat any longer, Christians. Our mindsets have to be renewed. Remember how the Bible tells us, how does he transform us? How do we get from being controlled by the flesh to walking in the Spirit? By renewing our minds. By changing the way you think. You have to decide every single day to follow Jesus. You have to decide every single moment of every single hour of every single day to follow Jesus. When things are presented to you, you have to decide what you're going to think upon, what you're going to act upon, and is it honoring Jesus? Not because he forces you, ooh, because if I don't do it, he's going to get me. No. If you don't do it, you're choosing to remain at war against him. And why would you when his love has been revealed to you? And that's why you've always heard me say, why would you choose his wrath over his love? So you can't. We don't blame God. Oh, he's a bad God. He's an angry God. He hates sin. He does. Because he knows what sin has done to his creation. He hates it. And there's judgment for it. And he's just in his actions and how he deals with it. And how he deals with them who continues to remain in rebellion towards him. He's just. But in that, he's so merciful. He's so kind. He's slow to anger. From the beginning all the way until the end, he's going to continue to reveal himself to his creation in hopes that they would turn to him. And the only way to him is through Jesus. Not through any other means. No matter what's being said out there, there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. There's not many ways to God. There's only one way to God. And it's not because man says it. No, it's because God has said it. It is his living word. From the beginning, he says, there will come one who will crush the head of the serpent. Prophecy all through the Old Testament of the one who would come to redeem mankind back to God. He didn't talk about many coming. He talked about one coming. And so unless we get lost out there in the world, no, the reality is there is one, and his name is Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other way, and we do not have to be ashamed to say that. Yes, it upsets people because they are at war with his throne. I was once at war with his throne. If you are in Christ, you were once at war with his throne. So as Christians, we don't live quiet lives, hiding our and keeping our faith to ourselves. No, we're to be bold in the way we live. Not crazy, not beating people over the head with the Bible, not carrying on like lunatics, but just living your life. Loving God, that's going to cause problems for you. But it's okay, because we already know to expect that. Like, your Christian life is to be a life set apart for God. Because we're to be the people of God, doing the will of God for the glory of God. And it's an everyday choice, you all. It's not a one-time little prayer. And if you've fallen back into sin, then if you're truly a Christian, get up. Repent. Grieve over your sin. Just don't be flipping like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. No, are you seriously sorry? Do you understand the weight of it? That's why the Bible says, as Christians, you can throw off the sin that so easily entangles you and get up and keep running. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wallow around. You don't have to try to manipulate God to love you again, because he already loves you. He's never going to stop loving you. Nothing can separate you from his love. But we must understand this. His love is not salvation. Not everyone is going to be saved. But God does love everyone. But the way to receive salvation is through Jesus. And the life that has been marked by one who has that belief and that confession, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And a life not living a life grieving the Holy Spirit, but a life honoring the one in whom they have surrendered to. And listen, it's not an easy life. It's not. But he never told us it was going to be. So again, this weird concept that we do in church, where we pretend like, okay, we got it all together. In reality, we don't. So I keep telling you, people are ushering into churches, and they're going to usher right back out, and their homes are so dysfunctional, their lives are so dysfunctional, they are enslaved to sin. And then some of them, they just live out and loud proud in their sin, expecting everyone just to deal with it. But what is that? You do not see that anywhere in Scripture. You won't see it anywhere in Scripture. I want you to go to, and say, they're not in the notes, Carrie, so if you can add it. I want you to go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. And there's some issues going on there. And like I challenged you last week, if you really want to understand the Christian life, you know, first you need to read the Gospels. But once you've given your life to Christ, once you've accepted Christ, if you truly want to understand what it means to live out in community as believers in Christ and in your identity in Christ, you should do a reading through Acts through Jude. And the theme is kind of the same. You're going to basically just grow up. Remember who he is. Remember who you are. So Paul is constantly writing to these churches, reminding them. And so here we find in chapter 3 of Galatians, he writes this, "O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you?" He's writing to the church, to Christians. "For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross." So he's saying here, listen, you're not ignorant, but yet you're acting like fools. You've heard the gospel. You understood the gospel. It was as clear as if you were there that day looking up and seeing him on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting new lives, circle that, highlight that, in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. If you want to do a further study, keep reading through Galatians chapter 3 this week. But we're going to stop there. Oh, you foolish Galatians. What you received, this free gift, and as it was for them, so it is for us. And so it will be until the day Christ returns. What are you doing trying to be perfected in your own strength? Following religious rules and laws. Doing it in your own works. How could you be so foolish? How could you continue to do this as if there is no God? That's what a fool is. Mm-hmm. You're trying to live out this new life in your own strength. Because that's what your flesh puts on you. Your flesh, remember, is at war against what Christ has begun in you. Mm-hmm. That's why you must be diligent in prayer. And in the reading and the studying of the Word of God. That's why you must be in community with believers. Because that's what he birthed. He didn't call the church to be on its own. He called Christians to be together, to grow together, to mature together. And this new way of life that's contrary, that's opposite to the ways of the world. Lest we forget, the enemy came into the garden. Did God really say? All through the Old Testament, God's law, God's word was revealed to them. And the law was given with God knowing that the law could not save man. But he gave the law, because you say, well, then why would he give the law? Well, he gave the law to show his creation the need for a Savior. Yes. For the one in whom he said back here would come to destroy, to crush the head of the serpent. Jesus is that one. And so now Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. We have to remember he came to fulfill the law. And so we're not to be, in the sense, law keepers. In fact, we were talking about this the other night. The Word of God tells you every time the law is preached, it covers the eyes. It keeps people from truth. No, we have to preach Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who fulfilled the law. He didn't come to do away with the law. So in Christ, in the revelation of Christ, and all that Christ accomplished, in Him now we are to live. And if we are in Christ, as the Word of God tells us, that is our identity now, then we're not striving to keep the law because the law is already kept in Christ. So as we're maturing, as we're growing, as we're taking thoughts captive, as the newness of life is coming forth, we're not going to have other images of God to worship. We're not going to commit adultery. We're not going to steal. We're not going to covet. We're not going to disobey our parents. We're not going to do these things. Not because the law is there. No, because the law has been fulfilled. Because of Christ. And that's the freedom that comes through Christ. It's in and of myself, I could not keep the law. In and of yourself, you could not keep the law. The freedom from in Christ is that the law has been fulfilled. And now through Christ, we are united back to our Creator.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's the good news. Amen. This is what we have to share with other people. This is how you explain the gospel. And this is what you should be preaching to yourself daily. Because trust me, your flesh is going to want that law. It's going to keep dragging you back. Oh, you ought to pray more. You ought to do this more. You ought to do that more. Oh, if you don't do this, oh, he's going to get you. Oh, he's a bad God. You better keep this. You better do that. You better do this, do that. Up and down, left and right, all around. And it'll keep you so busy that you're not even with God. Lest you forget, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious men, they knew the law. They kept the law. They added to the law. And they kept people from God. Because all they kept doing was teaching the law, teaching the law, teaching the law, teaching the law. And so finally, the one in which the law was pointing to, Jesus, when he showed up, they didn't recognize him. Because there was so much about the law. And Jesus says, your father's the devil. But Jesus, they knew the law. They were living the law. Weren't they good people? No, 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 they weren't. In fact, remember he tells them, you travel far to win converts. But you make them twice as much the hell, sons of hell and children of hell, as you are. That's what he says to the religious people. But he also said to the people, listen to what they say. Hear the law. Listen to the words. But don't do as they say. Because they only went so far with the law. But the law was always meant to draw the creation, the created, back to the Creator. Mm-hmm. That the Holy Spirit would use it to cause the created to look up. Instead of looking within and trying to figure out how to keep all of it. Mm-hmm. And do all of it. See, I'm telling you all, we gotta wake up. We gotta know how to live out this Christian life. God, from the very beginning, I keep telling you, you can go read it for yourself. Genesis to Revelation, there is a constant common theme. God will have a people that He will call His own, and in return, they will call Him their God. They will live for Him. They will honor Him. They will know Him. That's what He's always purposed. And so I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 31. I've been studying my own private time in Isaiah, and I just want to share some of these points with you as I've been sharing with you over the past couple weeks. Again, the prophet Isaiah was raised up in his generation to speak truth to God's people, calling them back to God, turning them from worshiping all these other gods, making a mockery of God. So I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 31, verse 6 is where we're heading. And do you remember last week or the week before, we read through Isaiah, and God Himself says, these people say a lot of things from their mouth, but their heart is not for me. See, God knows the intent of your heart. You're not fooling anyone. I keep telling you, you may think you're pulling it off, but God sees you. God knows your heart. You may say the right words. You may stand and pray or kneel and pray for 2 hours straight. You may worship. You may be nodding in agreement and all that stuff. But if there's nothing coming from your life, it's just lip service. Yeah. And somehow you so deceived yourself into thinking you're right with God. In reality, you're not. God doesn't even know you. But I'm doing, that's the problem. Because if your doing is not producing, oh, you should capture that. Something's wrong. If your doing is not producing fruit in your life of a believer, then your doing is useless. He doesn't even recognize it because He doesn't know you. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, I see that they're gathering and that they're doing, but I would, God says, would rather them to stop praying. In fact, I'm not listening to them anymore. What? But God? No, you don't know, no, but God. God knows the hearts. Oh, they're acknowledging, they're doing, they're going through the works, they're going through the motions. And yet there's nothing coming from their life of a believer, of a born again, transformed, once a slave but now free, once dead but now alive. See, that's a mark of a Christian. A changed life. Not a perfect life, but a changed life. One that is growing. One that is maturing. One that's not settling to stay back over here and somehow stamp yourself with Jesus. Well, He's okay with me. What? What? Like, I want you encouraged through the Holy Spirit as you're reading the Word. Because you understand there are millions and probably billions of people on this earth who believe some type of way that they are right with God, and they are not. And yet, even though God knows that's the condition of their heart, He is pursuing them to awaken them to turn to Him, just as He did back then, as we're going to hear. Just as it was then, so it is today, and so it will be until He returns. Like He's constantly pursuing us. Stop that. Stop that. Come back over here. I'm your God. Get back on the altar. Let me finish what I've begun in you. If you believe, believe. And enjoy the process. Yes, it's painful, but what's coming is a greater glory than anything that this temporal world can offer you. So endure. Endure. Persevere. But know Him. Walk with Him. Worship Him. Abide in Him. Fellowship with Him. You belong to Him if you're truly a Christian. And you're doing it all not because it's the law, no, because it's just who you are now. Because the law is fulfilled. Now I can experience, and you can experience this freedom like we've never known before as the created. That we're praying and we're living from a place of victory. Like we already have all that we need, you all, and that's how we had to start believing. That's how you deal with the old mindset. Like when the old temporal mind wants to remind you, you have to push back and you got to say, no, because of Christ and what He has accomplished, I am no longer this way. I don't have to any longer go that way. No, I don't have to enjoy this any longer to feel whatever. No. It is because of what Christ has accomplished. It's because He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God because He was resurrected from the dead. He defeated sin and death. There is power in the one in whom I declare is God.
Amen.
And so I'm living from victory that belongs to Him and not myself. And so this is how you're engaging with yourself. And you say, but I'm not doing that. Then I'm telling you something's wrong with your Christianity. Because this is how He teaches us. Not man. Him. Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Word. Through the community of believers. Like we're to be advancing His kingdom.
Amen.
We have a zeal and a love for our God. We are fighting for the heart of our King. This should be us, the people of God. So that's why I'm passionate to continue to remind us every time we're together. Grow up. I have to pull myself in the mirror every day. Grow up. The same message I preach to you, I preach to myself. We have to grow up, lest we fall in a trap. All this and that. I'm telling you, you better look up. And you better see everything that He's accomplished. You see, that's what changes our lives. All those years ago, you can speak for yourself. But all those years ago, that's what made me bow my knees. And say, okay, God, I'm yours. I don't know what it all means, but I'm yours. I fought it. I fought Him. I tried it all these different ways. But okay, God. Not because I was forced to. Because how can you, when the God of the universe, the one and only true God, steps into your life and reveals to you who He is through His Son Jesus. With everything within us, with everything within me screams, but that's not me. I like this. I like that. I want to think this way. I want to go this way. I've been broken. I've been abused. I've been abandoned. I don't feel like I have an identity. And now I'm supposed to live like one who has an identity, one who's whole, one who hasn't been hurt, one who doesn't go this way or that way or this way or that way. And why? Because Jesus. Not because I'm suppressing things or I'm like, oh, I don't want to think this way and have this. No. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Like, I hope y'all understand that. Like, your new life is because of Jesus. He's the author. He's the perfecter of what He's begun in you. And so you have to look at Him. You have to know Him to know who you are. Because the Bible says you are in Christ. You are to bear His image. You don't become Christ. So don't get confused.
People do.
Because people try it. Oh, tell you become a little God. No. You are His image bearer. And so you must start believing what He's accomplished. So when that old flesh rises up to remind you, you look back at it and say, no, I've crucified you to His cross.
Yes.
That's why you must be engaged daily with your old nature. Telling it, settle down. Y'all are quick to tell other people how to live their lives. I suggest you start dealing with your own. Worrying about everyone else. And your life isn't even changing. But yet, praise God, hallelujah, look, I got my Bible, I pray, I nod, yeah, I'm in all agreement. What? And yet, you're not even bearing His image when you're among the ones that you have issues with. What? Do you understand deception? Do you understand what we're living in? Listen, I want to enjoy my Christianity. I want to enjoy this new nature up in the mountaintops, down in the valleys. I've gone through enough. To at the end of my life, I want to look up and say, God, I'm yours. And every single day, I have to get up with that posture. I go through things every single day. But the victory is mine through Christ. It's not mine through my works. It's mine through Christ. And I'm telling you all, you've got to start looking at Him. You've got to start understanding all that is available to you. As a child of God, you have the right to come boldly into His throne room. I don't know if you understand that. You don't come boldly into the throne room of a king. You will be executed. And the natural. But God. My child, come. What do you need? Like, again, I don't know. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's not a good little book or a good little story. He's God, you all. And the God of the universe. I pray it'll be your testimony too. Like, the God of the universe stepped into my darkness. And darkness had to vanish.
Yes.
What? This God that I've been fighting against my whole life. What? My God, you love me. Oh, but God, I'm so unclean. Like, God, the very nature of the person that I am, like, I know you hate. But I look upon you no longer as that old man. No, I'm raising you up as my son.
Yes.
I'm raising you up as my daughter. Like, you belong to me. Let the forces of evil do whatever it wants. Let the world go however it wants. Let your flesh scream and cry all at once. But here's one thing as a Christian, you can know that you know that you know that if you're truly saved, God stepped in and pulled you up and said, child, you're mine. But no one else calls me their own. Oh, but Rob, you're mine. I knew you. I know you. I formed you. I have plans for you. Like, I'm telling you all, all that other junk that my flesh craves, I can look at it and then look at him and say, there's no comparison. There really isn't. No matter what your age is, no matter what your age is, like when you come to Christ, like what? Like, you love me? Like, I'm loved. Like, I'm loved by the Almighty God. He's my Father. He would never leave me nor abandon me. In so many years of my life, that's all I felt. That's all I was running from. I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted to feel like I had a place, I had an identity. I didn't want to be marked as one that was abandoned. And yet God, in His sovereignty and His love, came and rescued me. And as He did for me, as He's done all through the ages, He'll do for you. And this is why we live differently, you all. In the knowledge of God. And then we take that knowledge and we wage war against our flesh and say, you're not lying to me any longer. You are not presenting me this false truth, because here's truth. Just like I just showed you, sometimes that's how I stand in the mirror and talk to myself. When the Bible says, take every thought captive, what do you think it means? Like, that should be a common practice that you're growing in. Like, that's not true. You just can't let thoughts run amok in your head. Because as you think, the Bible tells you, so you go. So if you're wondering why you're such a mess, your thoughts. But God says, no. Think upon that which is pure. That's what the Bible tells you. That is right. That is holy. I see, when you start doing as the Bible instructs you as a believer. See, first you have to be a believer. First you have to have given your life to Christ. You have to come to a place where you're like, I'm a sinner. I'm at war with you, but God, you love me. Like, you gave your son for me. I believe, and my belief is not because I believe because it's me. No, because you, by the Holy Spirit, have given me insight and understanding to this. What? How great you are. Oh, God, forgive me. I receive Jesus. I believe that He is the Son of God and that He rose from the dead. Amen. I am born again of the Holy Spirit. Set apart, sealed for you. Oh, my beloved, come, Lord Jesus. I don't have to be afraid of God any longer. I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to be swallowed up in His wrath. No, but I do live with the fear and the reverence of who He is. Because He's holy. He's holy. Holy. And so I can live differently. Again, not in of myself, but in Him.
Yes.
So if you look here in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 6 through 7. This is the word of the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the people of God. Though you are such wicked rebels. This is how God is describing His people. As He said it to them, He could say it to us today. Though you are such wicked rebels, my people, come and return to the Lord. I know the glorious day will come when each of you will throw away the gold idols and silver images your sinful hands have made. You see, that's what your flesh does. Your flesh always creates idols, idols, idols. Something else besides Jesus. Something else beside God to worship. And that's rebellion. But you look at the hope that's here. Yet though He marks them as rebels, He says, but I know there will come a day that you will throw them away. You've made them with your hands, and they are useless. Go to Isaiah 32, verse 1 through 3. The ultimate deliverance, this hope that is being declared back then. Look, a righteous king is coming. Here again is prophecy of Jesus that ultimately will fulfill this prophecy. And honest princes will rule under him. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a parched land. Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth. And everyone who has ears will be able to hear. Go to Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver. And our King, He will care for us and save us. What a beautiful announcement. He cares for us. And ultimately, He has sent Christ to save us. And only those who are in Christ are saved. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 8. The hope that you can find in Scripture, you all. Again, every time you hear of God's wrath, you should hear of God's love. And every time you hear of God's love, you should hear of God's wrath. Because this is who God is. You just can't go to one extreme or to the other. It is who He is. And He allows His creation to experience being abandoned by Him, to be turned over to what they want, in hopes that they will turn to Him. They will experience suffering, calamity, in hopes that they will turn to Him. He knows our condition is one that's in rebellion and is at war with His throne. And yet, in the midst of all of that, He's working through revealing Himself. If you would just turn to Me, if you would just come to Me, if you would just rely on Me, I've got you. I've made a way. Where there seems to be no way, I've made a way. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And it's only through Him can you know peace. Can you know Me? Can you be made whole and complete, and no longer my enemy, but now you're my child.
Yeah.
I've adopted you. I've called you my own. But Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 8, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her sad days are gone, and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all of her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. Their grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade. But the word of our God stands forever. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. This is what's being proclaimed throughout the ages of the Messiah, of the King to come to redeem the people of God. And this is the hope that we have. Go to verse 28 of chapter 40. And I know in the notes, Carrie, it's just going to be 28 through 31. It's not going to be a break. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28.
Are you skipping 23?
Yeah, actually, it's going to be 23 through 31. Sorry. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 23. And we're going to read through 31. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. This is what happens to those who are not found in Christ. To these nations and to the created who are at war against him. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Says God. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up to the heavens. Who created all of the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Listen, did you hear that? This is our God. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. Come on, y'all. This is our God. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Oh, the promises of our God. The reality of who he is and how great he is. Why do we make him so small? Why do we think we can just keep getting away with however we want to live and still call him God? And not honor him by our actions. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, not that you have to now, but 19 through 20, this is what I'm talking about. This is what these verses are reminding us. You belong to God. So you must honor God with your whole being. You have been bought, purchased through the blood of Christ. He's not flippant about what he's done for you. Do you understand? Jesus prayed with such depth, blood, such dropping. If there's any other way, take this cup of suffering from me. But not my will, but your will be done. And we want to make light of what he's done. Like, I'm just telling you all. We are living in a crazy time. And it's only getting crazier. But we're not to be people who are crazy along with it. We're to be people who are secured in Christ. Yes. We know our God. We know our identity in him. No, we're not perfect, but we're maturing. We're growing. We will not settle. We will not keep turning back. We will not keep just existing and just going through the motions, trying to keep the law or creating images to worship. No, he is our God. Did you get that picture? Like, he calls out each star by name. Hasn't lost one. Like, he's God, you all. He's magnificent. He's almighty, all powerful. all these lesser gods, all this lesser power that's out there, can't even compare. And this old nature that is at war inside you against this truth, that if you're born again in you, the Spirit of God in you, you just keep reading through Galatians. It tells you what that fruit is. You'll know if you're living in the flesh. There's no doubt. You don't have to question, am I in the flesh? Oh, you'll know. And you'll know when you're in the Spirit. There's no doubt. Oh, am I? Well, no, you know, because He tells us what it looks like. So this is how we're to be maturing. This is how we're to be walking in confidence, not of ourselves, but of our God. So then people look and say, there's something different. You're not like the other Christians. There's something different. Because I'm not a Christian just by name. No, I'm a Christian. Because I'm in relationship. And I'm secured with Him because of what Jesus has accomplished. Oh, that you would know Jesus. That's why I keep telling you, everyone's quick to say, I know God loves me. Okay, good. Well, then you have some truth. And we can work with that. But what did He do because of His love for you? He gave up His one and only Son to die for you, to take your punishment. Why did I need a punishment? Because you're a sinner, just like I was. You notice the term, I was. That's why you're not just keep walling around and go, oh, I'm just a sinner. No, you are a child of God. Do you sin? Yes, but it's different for a Christian. Sin doesn't master you. When you sin, you feel the conviction. You're like, oh, God. Yeah. And you grieve. You're like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I don't have to stay down. No, get up. Move on. Don't let it define you. Don't let it keep you down for 6 years, 30 years. No. Just get up. That's the reality. That's the freedom that you have. That's why you can tell them, I once was. And you are. But you don't have to be. Because look, God is pleased to reveal Himself to you through Jesus. Like right here and now, God is revealing Jesus to you. It's up to you now. He's not going to force you. But if you would confess, if you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He rose from the dead, if you would first acknowledge that you are at war with His throne, and He's made provision for you to be restored to Him through Jesus by God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be born again of the Spirit.
Yes.
And the way that you see me walk is the way that you can walk. Because it's a life lived in the Spirit. And we're to walk habitually in it. So that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So when you, as a Christian, do find yourself sinning, you need to ask yourself as you're going down on your knees in repentance, dear God, what was it here that I thought would satisfy me that I stepped out of the walking in the Spirit and said, I'll take this. This looks better. Because I don't want to keep going back to that, Lord. So I would just encourage you. I would encourage you this day to be encouraged. Because God is good. And God is great. And there's no other God like Him, you all. This is our King. This is our King. He's formed us. He's created us. He knows us. So let's worship Him. Let's honor Him. So if you're sitting here today, or you're listening online, or later if you're listening to the podcast, and you don't have the hope of Christ, the genuine hope and freedom that you've heard about today, then don't harden your heart. No, see, God is pleased yet again to reveal Himself to you. And He's calling you to come. Come to Him. Love Him. Worship Him. Receive of Him all that He has for you.
Because your life now is not your own. Because you belong to Him. And that's good news. That's not bad news. That's not like, oh, that's just boring. No, see, when we look at things that way, we're seeing it through the eyes of the flesh. But I'm telling you, as we heard Scripture say, oh, if we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and to truly know His greatness and His goodness and His love towards us. His desire is that none shall perish, you all. I mean, that's His desire. None should perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as a child of His, this is what we carry forth to tell others, to go forth and announce our King and His kingdom. This is the hope. This is the purpose. This is the passion that we're to have. And we don't conjure it up or pretend. No, it's just the reality of who we are. In every situation, you all, see, your circumstances in life does not change your identity in Christ.
Don't say it again, brother.
Your circumstances in life do not change your identity in Christ.
Yes.
And if they are, then something's wrong with your Christianity.
Come on now.
I'm just being honest. Trust me, I've gone through some circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the midst of it, there's seasons where I've told you, I wanted to run from God. I wanted to throw my fist up at Him. But how could I? Because He's too real to me. And He should be to you. I keep telling you, if you're going to turn your back on God, and you're going to go, I was just reading about this one Christian rapper who has been in years producing incredible Christian rap and reaching these youth. And now I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in His resurrection. I renounce everything I've ever said. And we're seeing that more and more. What? And so I keep telling you, if someone gets to that place, they have to look at the cross and say, it's not enough. And they go back to their old ways. What? What? But I get it. There's been many times over these past 27 years or whatever it's been, seasons in my life that were hard, circumstances that didn't happen by my own hands. The majority of them by my own hands. Others by the hands of others. And I was angry and I was mad at God. And I blamed God. And I wanted to not forgive. I didn't want to do the Christian life. And just when I was ready to step out, God stepped in. Where are you going? Oh, God. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, God. Oh, God. I don't want to think that way about them. I don't want to be angry at you. God, you didn't cause it. Oh, God, no, you're still good. Oh, God. And see, that gets you up. That's why I keep telling you, your circumstances does not change Him. And your identity in Him. That's what keeps you growing through it. Because I can forgive as you forgave. And I can move forward. Trusting and believing. Not that my circumstances changes, but that you're still good. So I've said to you, as many times I've had to counsel people, if your circumstances do not change, is He still God? That's the hardest thing to come to grips with, you all. And I don't say it lightly. I had to come to grips with it myself. You're God, and I'm not. That's a beautiful prayer to remind yourself and to pray. You're God, I'm not. So I don't want to harbor feelings against people. I don't want to speak curses over people. I don't want to harbor ill will in my heart or anger in my heart. No, God. I'm to love my enemies.
Doesn't mean I allow people to abuse me, so don't get weird on that. There is a way in which we're called to live that honors God and that ultimately matures you. And then your enemies look and go, you see, vengeance is the Lord's. There was a season, I'll share this, and we're going to close a little bit early today. But there was a season in my life where I had, quote unquote, these Christians around me who gathered together purposefully to attack my character. I mean, viciously. And when it came to light to me, when my boss sets me down and says, like, hey, you need to read this. This was sent to all leaders. This was put out there. What? I'll never forget, my boss looked at me and says, but Rob, I don't believe any of it. Because I know your character. And I had to step back out into this place where I didn't know who was part of this agenda. But I couldn't go in and start trying to flip over tables and rocks and trying to find out who. I had to pray, God, I just want to serve them as I'm serving you. God, don't let this lead me astray. But God, make this right. Finally, this woman felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the next day she comes in and begins to say how these group of women went to sitting at lunch and they all came up with this plan to write this letter. And she couldn't carry the weight and grief and guilt any longer. And because God had already started in my heart the day when it was exposed, and now all this stuff is unraveling, all these investigations going on, all this crazy stuff that I had to endure. I said, what do you want done with them? Just, I forgive them. And I can still serve with them. I still love them. You know, so I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's coming up this week for you or next month for you or what the next issue is going to be in your life. But what I can tell you is it's through trials like that. I share it just to say that's how you grow. So when I stand up here and I'm preaching, it's not because, oh, he doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand my circumstances. No, you'll have no clue what I've had to walk through to get to where I'm at. And what I may have to walk through tomorrow to get to where I'm going. But that's the key. Is you're walking through it. Not in and of your own strength. In and of myself, oh, I wanted to go and deal with some people. But I knew I couldn't. And if you're already living your life, if you're already living out for Christ, people are going to recognize that. And you're going to have support from people who know your character in Christ. So let the enemy come. Let the world do whatever. Let your flesh scream at you however it wants. Let people say whatever they want about you. Blah, blah, blah. The truth is what Jesus has spoken. What God has captured for us in His Word. This is the living Word of God, you all. And you should be meditating on it day and night. Not because it's the law, just because it's a passion. This is my sword. This is how we dress for battle day in and day out, because this is our King, you all. And there is a way in which we are to live, and it's for the glory of Him. So I'm going to close this with this last song, and then I'll close this in prayer.
There's power in your name, and I've heard the stories of lives you have changed. I've been through it again and again and again. So here I am. I've been doing this all on my own. I need breath in my lungs, life in my bones. I've been trying again and again and again. So here I am. Jesus, oh Jesus, won't you save my soul? Jesus, save my soul.